Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Did not expect baseball news yesterday, Tom, but here we are. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Always a pleasure. Y'all dropped some news on me. I did not realize Steve Trimper had resigned. You know, they played four games up here last year, and I think Arkansas won the first two, and you're thinking, sweet, sweep, and then suddenly Destin wins two in a row. So that was one of those eye-openers fairly early in the season. But Trimper was a super nice guy. You know, I just remember thinking, wow, you know, kind of a verbose dude, but I did not realize that he had withdrawn. But all to the Razorbacks, good, because like you just said, Justin, a 370 hitter. I mean, yeah, I might look at it a little cross-eyed too, but that's a nice average and certainly some home runs as well.
Now, Gomez didn't play in those games because he was at Fairleigh Dickinson then, but yeah, those two losses to Stetson are pretty much the reason that Arkansas went on the road for the regional.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's neither here nor there, because this guy was playing somewhere else.
Yeah. Tom, let's talk about basketball a little bit. We've been, you know, I was telling Trey, I was like, it's funny because I said, you know, we've been so focused on all the size on this team. I'm like, we kind of forgot to really get into the fact that we're really excited about the guard court and the incoming guys. We've been obviously waiting for JJ and then obviously some transfers and different guys to get on the court. But then as we were talking, the conversation then went right back. I mean, it is going to be something to behold with all the size running around for Arkansas.
Yeah, and the really cool thing about Arkansas basketball right now is there's so many new names and faces outside Billy Richmond that you're like, okay, this is new and fresh, but we also believe it's going to work out. Like, there's going to be some excitement to some of the guard play. And is Jordan Smith going to be a good enough ball handler? And what will they do at the point? Will Richmond play the point some? And what will Abdu Toure, how will he fit in? You know, and then I agree there's a bunch of hype, but are they going to be guys who post up or are they guys going to be – I just want to see what Cooper Bowser's game looks like, because if you watch that whole clip, he's talking about how he used to just kind of goes in and get lob passes and stuff. Well, now Arkansas is asking him to be more aggressive. So I just think it's going to be really cool to see the pieces start fitting into place and we start drawing our conclusions about what direction this team's going to go, because that's what was fascinating about talking to John Calipari on Monday was that he goes, we're going to see what our strengths are. We've just worked on a bunch of stuff in practice. We don't know if we're going to end up scrapping it because we want to see what the strengths of this team are. And that's the great thing. He can be adaptable to whether or not they're a great perimeter shooting team or whether or not, you know, if their defense leads to offense, the things that will allow them to do. So I just think I'm not sure I'm going to subscribe to Flow Sports to watch it, but I hope it's on the radio. Is it on the radio, Phil?
Nah, unfortunately not. Zim's out there for Flow Sports. And the thing that stands out about this, too, is that these are four games in rapid fire. Like, you don't usually do this. An exhibition is followed by an exhibition a week later. Like, when they in October, whenever the other two exhibitions are announced, they won't be the next day, or, you know, there's one day of rest, I guess, in December on Sunday. But it's not like, I mean, some of these kids are used to playing two games a day right now, even.
Or
like,
more. Yeah, these AAU schedules are insane.
It's not that, but it's a matter of now that you actually get a chance to maybe mesh a little bit over the course of 5 days. Now, whether that means much going into the SEC season, I don't know, but, you know, I think that's what they've got to be the most fired up about, is that they get to play four games against other competition as a team in 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing, and the bonding, I'm sure, will be big. And what we see necessarily in the Bahamas might not be what they look like when conference play starts, but it's a good starting point. And I noticed that Cal said today on radio, I believe, that that Kenny Payne is going to coach the team, but also this Bahamas national team is going to be different than the one, or stronger than the one that played Louisville, which was a 50-point decision, 49-point decision yesterday or the day before, whenever they played. But he thinks this is going to be a stronger Bahamas team. Our guy Anthony Christensen, who's there, thinks they're going to win all these games going away. But I think of all of them, this one looks like maybe the most competitive. I'm not sure.
Okay. Talking to Tom Murphy, again on the Jim's Razorback Pizza Hotline about all things Razorbacks. And, you know, I asked Phil earlier, Tom, I want to get your opinion on, you know, again, somebody's got to pay for this trip, although it would seem like it's probably a pittance comparatively to some of the other stuff that they do in the big budget scheme. But with teams being rebuilt every year, do you think that it would make sense now that it's allowed to do these types of trips every season? I mean, because, you know, again, I don't know if you can create some kind of revenue stream with, you know, fans who want to go or want to be a part of it, give them some access or whatever.
They've got to get something from Flow Sports for having access to the games.
You would think.
I don't get some sort of revenue stream.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think that's something that might be a norm for them going forward?
Well, knowing John Calipari, yes, and his roster is going to change year to year. You know, last year I think was a minor exception. They had a bunch of carryover. But I do believe it's going to change year and year enough to say we would like to do this. It's maybe not 4 out of 4 years, maybe 2 or 3 out of 4 years. And also it's another way, another recruiting enticement that, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to go to the Bahamas. We're going to go to Canada or wherever the different places they can play. And you guys are going to get all this exposure. I don't know how the finances work, whether or not the hotels down there cut them a big rate or just what the finances look like. And surely Flow Sports does have to pay something for the access to the broadcast. So yes, it's a sport that spends a lot of money in recruiting, a lot of money on their hotel and travel, because they do travel in good, you know, fine hotels and such, but they're bringing in revenue as well. And he pointed out that these neutral site games, you can make $500,000 to put in your NIL budget versus spending that much money if you're going to play a road game or something.
Yeah, there you go. Tom Murphy joining us on the Jim's Razorback Pizza Hotline from the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. All right, let's shift over to football because, Monday comes, and we hear from Ryan Silverfield, and they're going to start getting after it on Wednesday of next week. So it is upon us. So I guess thoughts, feelings, storylines, let's get into all that, Tom, as we get ready to start camp.
Well, I mean, point one is to start building a team culture that when they get into the meat of their schedule, in which they're not going to be favored very often at all against Power 14, how does the team stay together? You know, totally different unit than last year. Could you argue that they stayed together? I mean, after the halfway point when Sam Pittman gets fired, they played very competitive at Tennessee. They played very competitive at home against A&M. Maybe right down at the end, the Texas game and Missouri game, they didn't stay together as well. But how will this team be when the chips are down? Do they keep fighting and they keep battling? Can they establish an identity? Can they run the ball? There's so many questions. You know, if you're Silverfield, you're building basically from point A. You got to build the culture. You got to build the belief. And you got to somehow get tough in the trenches. And so there's a lot on the table for this team to be ready to have a really strong performance in week two. The quarterback situation needs to be resolved. There were some dinged up guys, particularly on defense, like Phoenix Jackson at linebacer, Braden Lee at corner. Can those guys make it into the two deep? I think they can, but it's all important things, and they have to do it in a rush because the first 9 practices where they're going to really implement game plan stuff, because school starts earlier this year. So it's really kind of a crazy year for him to be getting his debut at Arkansas.
No doubt about that. I'm curious to see, you know, I don't know if they – I guess they didn't really announce anything, but, I mean, I'm curious how many, you know, positions they feel are kind of locked in already and how much will be true competition in camp to settle out.
Well, how soon does it take to name KJ the starter?
From all indications, they're not in any rush to name the starting quarterback. I'm just curious about the rest of the positions. I mean, I think you got our feelings, Tom, about like across the front line on the offense, you know, who's going to be up there. But, I mean, have you got any indication on that or feeling on, you know, I guess who's going to run with the ones or any of that so far?
Well, I would just think that the carryover from what we saw at the end of spring would be where your starting point, unless somebody made a drastic move throughout summer. And so it's the same 5, I would think, on the offensive front that would get the nod to at least run out with the ones. And then, you know, there's some spots. I think the receiving core, when you look at it's C.J. Brown, Chris Marshall, they've probably got spots. And then maybe the third spot, like a Jamari Hawkins or or someone else could be up for grabs. But there's some guys who kind of established themselves in spring. On the other side of the ball, Joker Johnson, he was with the ones essentially all spring at one cornerback spot. Bradley Shaw, I mean, we already know he's the green dot on defense, so you think he'd have a starting spot. And Smith, the other linebacker, Quavion, I think he didn't have a good spring game, but he did establish himself. So I think he would naturally, you know, be a guy who could be with the ones. But would Wyatt Simmons or would Phoenix Jackson or somebody push to get a spot there? Quincy, obviously, up front. And then there's some defensive spots. You know, did our big boy Danny Beal do enough to possibly merit being in the rotation, possibly being in a one? I'm not sure. But I do believe they're at a decent starting spot. And the one place I will draw some encouragement from is I do believe that the defensive front has a chance to be deeper than it was last year. And that's a pretty nice place to start. They got a long way to go, but just my observation.
At this point, you can't say you know what they're going to be good at, what they're going to be bad at. You really can't. I mean, it's all a bunch of guessing. There's such a point I tried to make yesterday, too. You know, and I wonder where your perspective comes in on this, Tom. You know, and I think as a journalist, you naturally will be skeptical, but you also know when you go into a season sometimes, you have a real feeling about how a team is going to perform. What is the perspective you come from right now? Is it optimism? Is it optimism? Is it skepticism? Is it hopefulness? Is it positivity, negativity? Give me a word.
Well, I mean, we're trained to try to be objective, and I think we kind of approach things from a cynical perspective in that Arkansas football hasn't been really good for a long enough time that you don't expect a year one leap. Oh, suddenly they can be competitive. They can be in the mix. So it's not my place to say, oh, I'm optimistic about what they're going to be like. I told you I'm fairly optimistic about depth on the defensive front. I'm concerned some about positions on the offensive line. I think what they'd like to be able to do is have a really good running game they can lean on. And if it's third and three, they feel like they can run it and have a solid chance to get it. That's going to take a lot of work. And Sutton Smith and Braylon Russell, I think, have a chance to go in as 1A and 1B. And certainly Braylon has put himself in position to get more reps than he did the last couple of years when Quinn and Jackson and then Mike Washington basically earned the number one spot. So I think trying to hang their hats on being a good running team, a team that he understands what the elements are going to have to be. Don't turn the ball over. Stay on the field on offense. So get in third and short. Be able to run the ball some. And just be a sound team and not have as many penalties as last year's team. Can they go out there and put that into effect? I'm not sure. So I approach it from a stance of somewhat skepticism that they can make this huge leap. But I have heard good things about the way Ryan Silverfield composes a team, how he puts them through a grind, but they end up getting closer and they end up appreciating the work he makes them do. Whether that can translate to having success against Utah in week two or Georgia at home in week three, that remains to be seen. So I say a lot to say I'm just not really sure. I don't have a great feel for whether this team's going to be really competitive or not.
Well, and also another thing journalists have to do is get to the bottom of the story and, you know, get answers about things. And, you know, at Big Ten Media Days yesterday, Dante Moore was exposed as an in-huddle farter. So at some point, Tom, you're going to have to get the story out of the Arkansas offense, too.
Oh, I had not heard that, Phil, but you gave me a laugh right there. No. And Kurt Cignetti yesterday basically calling out the SEC for, you know, whining, complaining about why they haven't won championships is one of the bigger things to come out of yesterday. I mean, he could say that. His team went 16-0.
Yeah.
I still would argue that a nine-game SEC schedule is different than a nine-game Big Ten schedule. It's just different because the 7th, 8th, and 9th teams you're playing are still going to be pretty damn tough in the SEC, and you might wind up with some teams in the Big Ten that aren't as difficult, or if you face them on the road, you have a much better chance. That's my stance.
Yeah, that's fair. thing here from the 870. I really don't. This is on our text line, brought to you by Middleton Eaton Air. I really don't believe media still don't get the transfer portal can make quick results. Being able to tackle will make a huge leap. With a short passing attack, will help running the ball. So this person has thoughts. Yeah, again, I've seen a lot of misses in the portal, and hopefully Arkansas gets some hits in there. I mean, again, I think we're all – I don't even want to call myself cautiously optimistic. I'm hopeful.
So many teams are affected by the transfer portal, and some more than others. It's different than NFL free agency, which to me usually feels like you can't build through free agency. Everybody at this level builds through the portal now.
Right.
Everybody. So, yeah, you can. I mean, Indiana did that pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, look, he makes the point. You can rebuild quickly through the portal, but that means you got to hit on a lot of guys. They missed on a bunch of guys last year. But let's just say Jaquavion Smith is a impact linebacker. Joker Johnson is a corner who can really slow down one side of the field. These other, all these safeties they brought in, that they're impact guys, that could make a huge difference. You know, Bryant Williams really steps in at right tackle and gives them some strength there. But there's a lot – to me, there's a lot of questions. You know, like Chris Marshall, he had three drops in the spring game. But it's not for that. You know, can he not do that in the regular season and be a real impact receiver? So, to me, yeah, you can build quickly, but there's so many spots Arkansas has to be good at. And if you have some half-fires or misfires on some of those, then you can't put it all together.
And it even works through the returners, too. You know, I think of it. I don't know if this is the case or not, but it just feels that there's so many ifs at wide receiver, and it's the same. And I'm big fans of these two kids, but they have yet to pop at Arkansas, Courtney Crutchfield and C.J. Brown. They're just as much of an if as Chris Marshall.
Yeah. You know, I will say this for C.J. He had a much better year last year, and I just feel like from his attitude, from a team-leading or, you know, position-leading type standpoint, he sounds like a stronger voice. I expect him to be a solid guy. I mean, you got guys like Foppel and Jamari Hawkins and Marshall that have to go out there and prove it. And so, you know, we'll see what they get. Will they have breakaway speed on the edge? I'm not sure. But I do believe they're going to have a short passing game. And if they can get decent blocking, maybe the short passing game can open up stuff in the run game. That's what's so fascinating to me about football. The belief that you have to have, the toughness you have to have in the trenches, the scheming, the in-game adjustment, all of that kind of works together. And having a locker room that believes in each other. And the stronger you can be at all those elements, the better chance you have to win games.
I believe in you, Tom. I appreciate you. Enjoy your last weekend before the storm hits. And we will talk to you next Friday. Get first week of camp thoughts. So enjoy it, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, maybe we'll have – sounds good. Maybe we'll have some good thoughts when Friday rolls around, start getting some answers to these questions. Y'all have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. That's Tom Murphy from the Democrat Gazette.